We all know that women are not funny. And no one proves it better than Kay Ballard, the accidental lawyer who is the accidental host of our show. Of course, every accident that Kay Ballard encounters is intentional. And now her intention is to accidentally disprove the show's premise. So sit back and enjoy a fun conversation that matters between Kay and today's fabulous featured guest. Welcome to Women Are Not Funny Radio.
Hello, this is Kay Ballard. Every time I start the show, I'm very inclined to say, and I'm so glad you're here. It's true, I am. But I just hate saying that because it sounds so trite, doesn't it? Isn't it what every single last radio host says to open the show? So I kind of balk at it, even though I want you here. I truly do. I love listeners. When I started as host of Women Are Not Funny, I couldn't help but notice how I love listeners. I got one listener and I wanted two. And after the second listener unsuspectingly came on board, I was so greedy I wanted three, and it continues. So yes, I'll whisper it. I'm really glad you're here. Well, today is a very special edition of Women Are Not Funny Radio. It's our Valentine's Day show, and we're calling it Valentine's Day 2011, Too Little Too Late. We wanted to do a show about romance, but we decided instead to do a show about arranged marriages. And that's because we had the good fortune to identify a lovely guest, Nee Pinpratana, someone who's had a happy and successful arranged marriage for over 25 years. She's really rather amazing. And since this is the beginning of our Women Are Not Funny Radio third season, what could be better than a little look back? We want to catch up with three of our guests from last season, Michelle Woodward, Cher Bailey, and Michelle Miller. They're going to tell us what they've been up to, and it's pretty awesome. Naturally, you're dying to know about my own Valentine's Day, and I'm happy to tell you. In fact, I'm recording this the day before Valentine's Day, which means I have a wonderful opportunity. I can tell you all about it without making stuff up. You know, I'm speculating, it's true, but nothing I'm telling you is a lie. Now, so far, my Valentine this year has not identified himself, but I know he is out there. And I know that he will, because it's widely known that I'm adorable and modest, and what could be more desirable than that? So, I expect my Valentine to identify himself and to show up at my door singing sweet songs, chocolate in hand, and I'm excited about it. How can I not be? Now, some of today's guests have a little different view of Valentine's Day. They're not as optimistic as me, but I have every reason for optimism and a cute new haircut. Our first guest today is Nee Pinpratana, a petite woman with shiny black hair and sparkly eyes. She is happily married and has been for 25 years in an arranged marriage with another Thai American, someone that she met for the first time after his parents and her parents got together and decided that they were right for each other. Now, apparently, those parents knew something about their children because they made a good match. Now, when I invited Nee to be my guest and talk about her life situation, she readily agreed. And it may seem a little startling that I would ask her my traditional questions to determine if she has designs on my show. But you'll see that she set me straight in no time. Nee, is it possible that you're here at Women Are Not Funny Radio because you want to use it as a stepping stone for something better?
Yes.
Oh, really? Well, good for you, but another thing I'm worried about. Are you here, perhaps, to take over my show?
I don't believe so, because this is not my cup of tea.
You know, it's not that I don't trust Nee, but she is a very successful businesswoman. Surely she sees the opportunity. This may not be her cup of tea, but she still might come after my show. Right?
Well, here's why you are here, Nee. I happen to know that among the many interesting things about you, you have been in a arranged marriage, and one that's been very successful. I'm simply fascinated by that. Why don't you tell me your story?
Okay. You know, my parents, the one that set up the arranged marriage for us, and we have no choice. That's how they do in my country, back that generation. And we taught to have respect, and whatever mom and dad, you know, decide to do, we thought this is the best for us, you know, so that's why we both go on with it.
Obviously, when you were a child, you had some idea you were going to get married, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so at some point, you realized that the way it was going to work is that your parents were going to decide who you would marry, right?
Yes, yes.
How old were you when you figured this out?
You know, I'm not even thinking about that, you know, until I got through school and I was working, you know, so it's not, they're not talking about it until we get through school. I'm about 21 years old because, you know, we're so innocent. Yes.
So when you were a child, you weren't thinking about someday I'll have a husband and this is how I'll meet him and none of those
things. No, no,
Really?
No, I don't think about that. Uh-huh. Yes.
Oh my goodness. I'm not sure I'm buying it. But according to Nee, she had absolutely no thoughts of marriage during her girlhood and really gave it no thought until age 21 when she learned that her father-in-law had selected her as the future wife for his son.
So when the time came and you learned that this was going to happen, did your parents ask you about your preferences?
No, they don't.
They didn't say, Nee, do you like tall men? Nee, do you like men who are athletic? They didn't ask you any of those things?
No, because actually it was the husband's family is the one that picked the girl.
Oh,
and,
really?
And they have to look, you know, into it that, you know, like everything have to be in the same level. My mom have to check my husband out, my husband's family out, and my husband's family check my mom's family out, too.
So a lot of checking out going on.
Well, yes, but without the kids knowing.
It's all behind the scenes.
Neither one of us know that that's what they are trying to do.
So oh, my goodness.
It's kind of shock for us at first. But we thought they have respect, and we just do whatever mom and dad, you know, want us to.
Yeah, well, that is amazing. So you both had the same attitude about it then, that even though you didn't know it, when you found out, you were ready to go along with it. You must have had enormous trust of your parents.
Yes, I do.
Did you hear that? Of course you did. We all did. Nee and her husband both had so much respect for their parents' ability to make this choice for them that they went along. That's a lot of respect.
Oh, well, apparently they made a good choice for you. In this country, we kind of think arranged marriages are funny. And we don't make fun of the people in them, but we think the whole idea is really funny because we can't imagine such a thing. But apparently it's worked out really well for you.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, well, tell me about that. I can imagine, of course, I'm sitting here. You're in an arranged marriage. You're still married. I chose my own spouse. I'm divorced, so I don't have much to say there. But I can imagine so many times looking at a spouse and saying, why did I marry you? Why did I decide to marry you? But you, on the other hand, never have to do that. You look at your spouse and say, why did my mother pick you? Does that ever happen?
No, because, you know, my husband, he's a very wonderful person. You know, so I am really lucky that to marry him, and not even one day that I was regret.
So your parents really did know, and his parents really did know what was best for their children.
Yes, we grew up together and we learned, you know, to help each other and things like that, you know, and so we have that bonding together.
Yeah.
And I think that's how it worked out good for us.
Well, you've certainly built a successful life here in this country, and our listeners should know that you have your own business and it's quite successful, and you're the owner of a salon.
That's
you've built up a very big success here in this country. I also happen to know, though, that you have children. Have you considered carrying on this tradition of arranged marriage with your children? Would they go for that?
I don't think I'm going to do that to my kids because it is hard, you know, to go through, you know, when we get married, and it's very hard for two persons, you know, to come and live together. But, you know, like, that's how I grew up since I was a kid. You know, that's how my tradition in Thailand, but both of my kids, they was born here in the United States. And the culture is not, I did not keep the culture like what I do in Thailand because I know that their way they're thinking is not like what we are.
I am totally charmed that despite the fact that Nhi and her husband have had a very successful arranged marriage, they're not planning on taking the same approach with their two children. And it's probably a good idea because her children are very modern. Her daughter is an aerospace engineer and her son plans to become a computer engineer.
So, you know, a real success story, both of an arranged marriage and a new life in the United States. Thank you so much. And thank you for making my mother so beautiful for 15 years.
Oh, you're welcome. I just love her.
You know, since I live alone and work from home, I'm able to perform scientific experiments on myself. Like, if I spray on grease, some sort of oily hair product like a shine medium. If I spray on grease on my hair, will it make my hair look greasy? Yes. Or shiny? Not really. This most recent experiment was inspired by the fact that I already owned the product, and I saw Diane Sawyers on TV, and her hair looked really, really shiny, and I was really, really bored.
Women Are Not Funny is brought to you today by Kindle Pimp at kindlepimp.com. If you like to read, and you know that you do, you will love the Amazon Kindle. Go buy yourself one today at kindlepimp.com.
I don't consider it progress. I mean, one of the things that bothers me is that women, some women, are now very comfortable in viewing, critiquing, and commenting on the individual male posterior. As in, he has a cute butt, or he has a great butt. Thinking, I suppose, that after centuries of similar treatment by men, that turnabout is called for as well as fair play. Well, it may be quite fair, but is it progress? I think not. I'm not a prude. I'm not even Miss Manners or a Miss Manners wannabe. Yet I find this a little coarse for my delicate sensibilities. I will only condone comments about a man's gait. You see, women have always excelled at subtleties. Why change that? Why give that up?
Well, I'm here today talking with a good friend and a regular guest on Women Are Not Funny, Michelle Woodward.
Michelle's so great. She's actually the one who came up with the name, the tragic name for my very favorite tragic dessert, the Baked Alaska of Failure. Well, here's what happened the last time Michelle was a guest on Women Are Not Funny. She was here live on a Friday afternoon, and immediately after the show, she left for a very well-deserved week at the beach. Well, apparently, Michelle's beach house has a hotline to Washington, D.C., because while she was there, aware that she had just been a guest on Women Are Not Funny Radio, she got the call inviting her to serve as executive director for the Ronald Reagan Centennial Commission. The connection is all too obvious. The prestige of an appearance on Women Are Not Funny Radio is impressive, even in the halls of Congress. Michelle, I think you would admit that Women Are Not Funny is responsible for your appointment to this prestigious commission.
Absolutely. The bat phone rang at the beach house, and I think, if I remember correctly, the first thing they said was, "Didn't we hear you on Women Are Not Funny Radio?" I'm thinking, if my memory serves me, that was exactly correct.
Well, I am certain that's true, and we're very anxious to take the credit for almost anything, including that. So how has that gig been? I think it's really kind of a cool one.
It's been pretty interesting and really a lot of fun, and on February 6th was President Reagan's 100th birthday, and so I was out in California for the festivities out there, and, you know, that was really very wonderful and very moving, and now we've got a series of things planned here in Washington, D.C., and, you know, I continue to do that work as well as my coaching work, and so it's really, I don't know where I get in the time, Kay. I don't know where, how these hours are becoming available in my day, but they sure are, so.
Well, your life is very exciting and glamorous and,
much like yours, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, that's true, but I think in your case, you're probably making it up. In fact, including the story that was in your weekly newsletter. Yes, February 6th was Reagan's birthday, but it was also the day I received the newsletter where you told the story about when you actually acted as his advisor.
Yeah.
Apparently, you are, you're responsible for Dick Cheney. You. It's you.
Yes, as a matter of fact, it was me. Mwahaha. Aren't I supposed to say mwahaha when I say that? No, the appointment had been made, by the Bush people, but President Reagan did ask what I thought about it, and I nearly croaked out. I croaked when I had to come up with a response to that innocuous question, what do you think? But when Ronald Reagan turns to you and asks you that question, it was a big challenge. And I was 28 years old and not quite the, you know, fabulosity that I am now. And it was a pretty big challenge, to be honest with you.
Yeah, well, I just wonder why you didn't say, you tell the story, and as you tell the story, and you know I believe everything you say.
Just like I believe everything you say.
Well, I mean, the fact that we believe everything that each other says is, you know, somewhat a frightening thought, but what you said was, you quickly remembered that Cheney had been the chief of staff for the Ford administration, and so you put that out there. But why didn't you just say, no, 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 it's a travesty and a mistake, and I know this on very good authority because I've asked my personal psychic. Why didn't you say that?
You know, in a pinch, I guess, had I been able to use the time travel machine that I have in my basement at that moment, I would have definitely come up with that, but I don't know.
Too late now. Well, as we were talking a few moments ago, I told you about my personal acquaintanceship with Ronald Reagan, but I see now that it would just be, you know, I would have to embellish it so much to make it interesting at all for our listeners. We'll save that for another day because we're here to talk about romance. You know, it's
which so many people, you know, kind of put Dick Cheney and romance in the same sentence, Kay. So, you know, I think you're hitting the zeitgeist with that,
that
segue.
It's easy to do, but we're going to talk about true romance because it's in the air. Although, as people are listening, Valentine's Day has come and gone. You know, we've talked to Nee about her arranged marriage. What do you think about arranged marriages? Do you think they're a good idea?
I think it really depends, to be honest with you, on, you know, what people's expectations are when they're going into it, what the ground rules are, you know, whether there are plural wives involved. There's a deal breaker when you're talking to me. But I do think, I talked to my bank manager a couple months ago. He had a picture of a beautiful woman on his desk, and I said, oh, who's that? And he said, it's my wife. And I said, she's lovely, and how did you meet? And he looked at me and he said it was an arranged marriage. He's Pakistani and she's Bangladeshi or something like that. And he said, you know, it actually really was really good. And I said, why? And he said, because my parents really know me and they know what's right for me and they pick the perfect person for me. I thought that was an interesting perspective.
It's a very interesting perspective and apparently one that is pretty, I don't want to say common, but something that people who buy into it really believe. But, you know, you're a mother, I'm a former mother. Think about it. The power moves, the power.
The power, the power.
You have teenage children. Wouldn't that be just one nice thing to have in your arsenal? Say, hey, fella, just remember, I'm picking the wives.
Yeah. You know, I hadn't thought of it that way. And so perhaps I should start lobbing that one out there when he fails to clean his room or comes home with a speeding ticket. You know, maybe I should throw that out there.
My brilliance never ceases to amaze me, of course.
Just think about it. The power you would have as a parent if you were the one in charge of choosing your child's spouse. Think of what you could say. Why, you naughty little girl. I suppose you want a husband who will lose all his hair before age 30. Or, so, you won't clean your plate? Well, I guess I'll have to find a husband for you who's something of a fatso, so he can eat all the leftovers.
I thought about it when you asked me about what was I, you know, before in an email you asked me about arranged marriage, and I was thinking about it, you know, in terms of a contract, a marriage contract. How would I feel about being in an arranged marriage? And I've decided at this point in my life, I'm more apt to enjoy like a temporary 24-hour non-contractual marriage. It's kind of more my speed.
Darling, marriage is not about enjoyment. We both know that. Now listen, you are already in the middle of an arranged marriage. Are you forgetting? You're just being coy and naive because I arranged for you to marry my brother. Are you not? Has that completely slipped your mind?
Yes. No. No, it sure hasn't.
Well, this sort of disappoints me. I think that Michelle is being a tiny bit disingenuous, or maybe only coy, by pretending that she's forgotten or is not terribly excited about the fact that I have arranged for her and my brother to wed. Yes, Michelle is actually headed for an arranged marriage herself. And you know what? The reason for it is she respects me. She respects my judgment and my ability to choose the right man for her. And the man I have chosen is my very own brother.
And, you know, as soon as he's released on parole, I'll definitely take it into consideration. That's all I'm saying.
Well, as a matter of fact, he is involved with criminals, but he's a criminal defense attorney. He's the one who gets the child molesters back out on the street. Michelle, he is the perfect husband for you. And the reason I say that, there is a saying you've probably heard, you can pick your friends, but you can't pick your family. I thought I might just put that notion to the boot. And so when I asked you if you would marry my brother, as I recall, initially, you weren't so sure. You said, maybe not. But then I kept badgering you, and finally you just agreed, right?
Right. I think that was called Twitter harassment, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, whatever kind of harassment it was, I also had the courtesy to tell my brother what was going on. And, you know, he emailed me from the airport. He said, "Oh, I took a look at your friend, and she's pretty. I'm on."
He's brilliant and terribly good-looking. And you'll notice he has very high standards for a woman he would marry. Apparently, all it takes is that they be pretty.
For a woman like me, who receives far too many chocolates on Valentine's Day from all of her admirers, you know, what can I know to advise women who don't receive chocolates at all? I mean, what do you think about Valentine's Day? Is it an occasion for celebration, or is it just a big downer for a lot of people?
I think instead of calling it Valentine's Day, they should actually call it Downer Day. And I think that should be a movement that maybe I'll lead that movement, because I think so many people have these expectations or all these, you know, ideas of what it should be, and, you know, the promise of the Disney type magic, you know, the magical moment, and pretty much it's all, you know, still dirty socks and dishes in the sink, you know, and so it has lost a lot of its glamour, I'm thinking.
Oh, my. So. You are ready to be married to my brother, it sounds like. Sounds like you have a vision.
Yeah, well, my former husband is a criminal defense attorney, so once you said that, baby, I knew exactly what the game was. So.
Oh, there you go. Well, you know, you could consider it a collection, right?
Like a charm bracelet.
Like a charm bracelet.
Charm bracelet of husbands. Hey.
Who are also criminal defense lawyers. Mm-hmm. So, but one
we like
other
to keep them
opportunity.
Dangling, don't we?
Another opportunity, Michelle, that came to you, I think, certainly subsequently to your appearance on the show last time, and it's probably directly related, is you're now blogging for Psychology Today.
I am blogging for Psychology Today. Once again, the editor-in-chief called me and said, "I heard you on the radio, and so you must start writing for me." Mm-hmm. You know, you've got the sequence of events just perfectly nailed. It's mm-hmm. exactly mm-hmm. the way it worked.
That doesn't surprise me at all. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think they really look to my show for a source of their bloggers. And you know, there's certainly a lot of prestige involved for them. And but I guess you'll be helping women. You write a lot there about career transitions, don't you?
That's right. I'm in writing in the work category, and so the name of my blog there is Getting Unstuck. So I'm really trying to deal with issues around people being stuck in their careers, stuck in their work, stuck somewhere in that kind of part of their life. And so it's been really easy to come up with topics, because that's sort of the same thing I do in my coaching work. So there's some synergy.
Yeah, well, I think that getting unstuck is a really good thing to do, and it may be an issue for me with all of those chocolates.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm also just thinking getting unstuck could be related to two different aspects of things we've already talked to, getting unstuck when you're in an arranged marriage, and two, when you're married to a criminal defense lawyer. So there's two more blog posts for me to write right there. How wonderful.
Well,
and kind, yet again, of you to be so giving, Kay.
Yes, indeed I am. Listen, thank you so much for coming by, and I know you'll be back to pester me from time to time.
Absolutely, Kate. My pleasure.
This is Kay Ballard, and you have my personal invitation to join the Women Are Not Funny Radio email list. It's called the Awesome Pretties, and it's open to listeners of both genders. We know you're awesome, and we know you're pretty. Why else would you be listening to Women Are Not Funny Radio? My next Valentine's Day conversation is with comedian Cher Bailey, a good friend who blogs at CherBailey.com. The name of her blog is Wiping the Crazy Off My Face, and as I've told her many times,
I hope she never does.
Well, hello, Cher. You're looking good.
Hi, sweet cookie. Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing good, except I'm kind of puzzled because the last time you were on Women Are Not Funny Radio, you were newly divorced and looking forward to a quick marriage and a whole nother divorce. And I haven't heard any wedding bells, Cher. What's up?
Well, first of all, how do you know I haven't already been married and divorced a couple times? Maybe I have. Who knows? No, I haven't, Kay. I've been busy looking. I think the older you get, I don't have as much bounce back as I once did. So while I do plan on getting married and divorced at least 7 or 8 more times before I go toes up, I just, you know, takes me a little while longer than it used to.
Oh, you know what? That's kind of a heartbreaking answer. Did you know that my do-over New Year's resolutions, one of them is to get younger this year? I mean, couldn't you join me in that?
How do you do that?
Darling, you lie. How else?
Okay.
I'm taking off 7 years this year.
No, when I lie about my age, I say that I'm about 12 years older than I am, actually. I never lie and say that I'm younger.
Well, what's the thinking there?
If I meet somebody and I tell them like I'm 62, then they tell me how great I look. That's easy. God, Kay.
Yeah.
Not hard.
I'd rather go the other way. Okay, you know that for today's show, our featured guest is Nee, who's actually in a real live arranged marriage. She's been happily married for over 25 years, despite the fact that she's not the one who selected her husband. How do you feel about arranged marriages?
Oh, my God. I'm going to assume that her parents were a hell of a lot different than my parents. Had my father arranged my marriage, today I would be married to a man named Bubba Dry, who wore way too much musk oil and drove his grandmother's Buick. That would be my husband.
But, darling, I thought you weren't that picky. I thought that, you know, maybe you would like him. What did, you know, I'm confused.
God, no. It's the only date I ever went on to please my father. The kid was some kind of gospel singer. He had weird hair that was really stiff, and it had lots of 1962 goo on it. When he took me out to eat, he took off all his jewelry, and there was a lot. There was substantial jewelry going on. He took off all his jewelry. He had so much musk oil that I had to crank the window down in his grandma's Buick just to breathe. I wound up telling him that I had to study. It was Saturday night at about 8 o'clock, and, yeah. So that would be my husband. That's who I'd be married to.
You paint a vivid picture, but wouldn't he be fun to divorce? Wouldn't it be fun to divorce someone like that?
I don't know that you're allowed to divorce Southern Baptist gospel singers. I think you have to get jumped out or something. I don't know. It's not as easy as all that.
Yeah. Well, you know what? You are a woman who knows all the facts. But speaking of arranged marriages, I was hoping for one myself because you went to Las Vegas not too long ago, and you promised to come back with a husband for me. I mean,
I found several for you. It was easy to pick up husbands in Vegas, but most of them were trying to give me free tickets to movie shows. Some of them didn't have all their teeth. A couple of them spit, like, right in front of me, and I knew that your standards were such that you would not want a spitter.
So I left them there.
I left them there. I thought they weren't good enough for you, Kay.
Well, wise move. Listen, though, I'm just curious, given your attitude, given your love of divorce and your, toleration of marriage, how do you feel about Valentine's Day?
You know, I have to admit, not a big fan. Maybe it's because I have never once in my natural long-legged life met a man who knows how to handle Valentine's Day. I'm not a girl who likes to give flowers. I don't want roses even when I die. I do like jewelry, but usually they suck at picking out what I like. I've never been with a man who gets it right, so I never get excited about it. Not a big fan.
Yeah, well, I mean, for me, it's just high calorie. I get so many chocolates from admirers, but I kind of like the idea of it, don't you?
Well, no, it makes me feel bad. It's always a big giant fail. I never wind up with anything good, and I always decide that I hate whomever I'm with because they don't do it right. So,
I don't know. I just see opportunity here. I think you and I ought to collaborate on an ebook for men to teach them how to select jewelry, because you're right, so many of them just don't seem to know, do they?
Yeah, well, the problem with that is they wouldn't buy it, because they're going to get the heart-shaped candies, or they're going to call their florist or something like that, and they're going to do it at the last minute. They're definitely not going to have forethought to sit and buy a book. Trust me on this. They're going to figure out what you're getting for Valentine's Day 10 minutes before they're supposed to show up. Yeah, that's how it's going to go.
Well, I always love talking to you, Cher, but I have to admit I was a little more cheerful before our conversation began.
Oh, geez. Well, that's too bad, honey. Sorry to hear that.
Cher, I adore you. Thank you for coming by.
Thank you, Kay. Good to talk to you, sweetie.
Well, what do you think? I think that actually Cher's excuse to end that wretched date worked out pretty well. If you tell your date, I have to go home and study, well, even if it's Saturday night and 8 o'clock, really, the only conclusion that he could draw is that you had a lot of studying to do, so I think that works. Maybe a tiny bit less well if you're a 40-year-old woman and not enrolled in school. So here's one that's maybe more all-purpose. It just sort of suddenly came to me. If you're on a wretched date and you really need to leave, you could say, perhaps, I really think we should end this date early because you've given me so much to think about. Feel free to use it.
Kameen and Cher Bailey talked about Valentine's Day and said that one of the things that's wrong with it is men never get it right. And I think a lot of men feel like they never get it right, and it causes them to ask the question, what is it that women want? Well, women know. And I have kind of a list of what I think every woman wants. So, see if you agree, and if you happen to be a person of the male persuasion, this may be a real eye-opener for you. And let's start there with eye-opener. Women want eye cream, and I mean really terrific eye cream. At the very least, eye cream gives you greasy eye bags. You know, lubricated eye bags, shiny ones. You have to ask the question when you're thinking about eye cream, which is better, $8 eye cream from the drugstore or $85 eye cream from the department store? I think we all know the answer. I think every woman wants a man. Well, not every woman, but women who are into men want a man. Kind of an obedient man. Tallish, someone who knows the names of 15 colors and 3 good wines, someone who has a dead mother, someone who can dance. Oh, and shoes. Women want shoes. Women want 37 pairs of shoes at their summer homes, and they want shoes that don't touch their feet anywhere. Women want a good bracelet. I certainly do. Bracelets are golden handcuffs. Women want a serious bracelet. And low-maintenance parents. And obedient children. I mean, even when those children are 35 years old. Well, especially when those children are 35 years old. Women want a dog-eared passport and diamond earrings. And a personal assistant, and a weekly pedicure, and of course, what could be better than a low handicap when you're playing golf? Oh, and great teeth. I think women want great teeth. I tell you what, my dentist is so expensive. If you knew how much she charges me, it would make you cry. You'd want to know why I don't have a mouth like Julia Roberts. Unless I do. And chocolate. Of course women want chocolate. That's the whole purpose of Valentine's Day, I believe. And something to go along with the chocolate? A flat stomach. And of course, a good plastic surgeon. And always a hot bath. Enjoy this very special song by today's featured indie musician, who's none other than our friend Paula Kelly. The song is called I'd Fall in Love with Anyone. And, you know, it's sort of my song. Paula wrote and recorded it 6 years before she and I even met. But I'm convinced, and she almost agrees, that she probably wrote it for me. Today it's yours to enjoy.
Explain.
Well, today we're going to be talking with Michelle Miller because having failed to take over my show, she's now hoping for a starring role in Housewives of New Jersey. Now, you may remember that Michelle Miller has a successful career as a marketing director for a prominent East Coast law firm, but she's also hoping to become someone's Miss Right. Now, for good reason, because we do deserve it, we like to get credit for everything here on Women Are Not Funny. And since her boyfriend proposed to her shortly after her appearance on this show, I believe that Women Are Not Funny probably deserves the credit. I mean, in other words, I think the reason that Michelle Miller is now sporting a beautiful engagement ring, I think it probably has something to do with me. Doesn't it, Michelle?
It sure does. I give you full credit. Without you, it would not have been possible.
Oh, well, you know, people are always telling me that, but this is particularly special to me because, you know, it's really actually very romantic, isn't it?
It is. It was, again, like you said, not that long after we did Women Are Not Funny Radio and I failed to take over the show. I was rewarded with an engagement ring. So we actually had gone up to Stowe, Vermont, first time skiing for both of us. We picked a really bad place to start because the bunny slopes are like giant mountains. So we got up there after a very, very long drive, and we had dinner.
Oh, listen, let me stop you here.
Oh, sure.
I want to hear the whole story. But here's what I suggest. I mean, this is showbiz after all, right?
It is.
So when you tell the story, could you come up with a showbiz-y sort of name for your fiancé?
Now, here's a case where the joke really was on me. I thought it was very clever to suggest that she come up with a showbiz-y name for her fiancé. What I had in mind was something like they use on the soap operas. You know, Chad or Blake. But look at how she turns the tables. And notice how I say, perfect, I love it. Even though it wasn't what I had in mind at all.
Ooh, let me see. Let's come up with a good one. I'm going to go with James Marsden. We'll call him James Marsden.
Oh, perfect.
He's
perfect.
Delightful.
I love it.
Underrated. Okay. So James Marsden and I were having drinks at the bar, and I noticed he was a little fidgety, and he had said that he wanted to go thank the hostess in the restaurant for making the last-minute reservation, and I thought it was all a little fishy, but I tried not to get too excited because after dating for 6 years, I had gotten a little excited on more than one occasion, and
oh,
then nothing
Michelle,
happened.
Oh, I bet that is true. Oh, my goodness, 6 years. Oh, you are the soul of patience, aren't you?
I was a trooper. I was a trooper. And then we had dinner, and we hadn't eaten really all day. It was a six-hour drive up there. So I was too full for dessert, but he was really insistent on getting something. And over comes this giant platter with this tiny little piece of cheesecake on it in the center. And written around it in chocolate was there were some words, but I noticed the hearts on the side that had little letters in between them. So I'm staring at these hearts, trying to figure out what the word it was making out was. And while I was doing that, James Marsden walks around the table, gets down on one knee, and proposes. In the meantime, I turn around, I look back at the plate, and what I had missed all along was in the writing it said, "Will you marry me?" Totally missed it. Totally.
Oh, my goodness. Well, he wasn't taking any chances, was he?
Yeah.
He put it on the platter, and mm-hmm. if you did miss it, he was prepared to go down on his knees and do the deed.
He did, and he did. He had to because I totally missed it. So I'd never actually said yes. We figured out afterwards. What came out of my mouth was, "Are you serious?" And but he said it's a binding contract the second I put the ring on the finger, so unless I want to give it back.
Well, that's probably true. I think, "Are you serious?" is the perfect response, right? Because
after
that could
6 years,
that could,
yeah.
mean, that could mean anything. That is perfect.
Oh, my goodness. You can tell that Michelle Miller has been working with lawyers for many years. She's practically become a lawyer herself. She actually answered her marriage proposal with weasel words. Instead of saying yes, she said, "Are you serious?" That's perfect.
It showed a degree of excitement, and it also failed to answer the question. Oh, the woman has leverage like crazy. Good work, Michelle.
What if I were able to make you even happier?
I would love to hear it.
Well, see, I know that you are busy, even though the wedding is 8 months away. I know you're busy planning, and I can take care of all of that for you because we have decided that you are our Women Are Not Funny Wedding of the Year. And so all kinds of benefits come with that. Isn't that terrific?
That's fantastic. I'm very excited. What kind of benefits are we looking at?
Well, what it means is you can just desist from planning your wedding because we are going to have Women Are Not Funny listeners make all the selections and choices for you. Now, we are not a big budget show currently, you know, so we will not be paying for the decisions they make, but you no longer have to shop or worry about a dress or decide what you're going to be serving at the reception because our listeners are going to choose those things and make those decisions for you. What do you think?
I think that's wonderful. The fewer decisions I have to make, the better. So thank you, Women Are Not Funny listeners.
Here's where, during the interview, right on the spot, I suddenly had the idea that Women Are Not Funny Radio could have a bride and groom just like they do on the Today Show, and that Michelle and her intended would be perfect for that role, and that you, the listeners, could choose all of the wedding accoutrements, even the wedding gown. Now, we don't have the budget to pay for it, but you can make the choices nonetheless. And really, sky's the limit. Since we're not paying for it, choose anything that you think Michelle and her beloved would enjoy paying for.
Oh, it is terrific, but there's one little downside.
Uh-oh. What's that?
Well, by accepting your role as Women Are Not Funny bride and groom, Michelle, you will no longer qualify for the Win a Date with Hugh Jackman contest.
That is giving up a lot, isn't it?
Oof. Yes, you may want to think this over.
I may. That's a lot to ask of somebody. I'll think, you know what, I will forego my chances at the Hugh Jackman contest, and I will proudly take the Women Are Not Funny Radio wedding planning.
You have to know that a woman's really in love if she'd forego the opportunity to enter Women Are Not Funny Radio's Win a Date with Hugh Jackman contest.
Listen, one more thing. I really don't hold a grudge. You know, I'm far too adorable for such things, but
of course.
I can't help notice that you accepted the proposal without checking it out with me. You know, you didn't run it by me, did you?
No, I didn't. I didn't. But I do blame that on my cell phone reception up in Stowe. It wasn't really great. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, otherwise, I completely would have.
Okay. Well, fabulous. And, you know, I can hardly wait. Obviously, I will be sitting in the front row cheering you on because this is going to be a good deal.
Yes, I can't wait. I'm very excited.
Oh, I think it's wonderful. And I know that you're excited because you, the Women Are Not Funny listeners, are going to be planning Michelle Miller's wedding. We learned from Nee that she never gave any thought to her wedding until she learned she'd been selected as a bride. But in the Western culture, young girls are encouraged to fantasize about their dream weddings, to plan those dream weddings, extravaganzas calculated to bankrupt them and their families. But I can't help but think that since a large percentage of those weddings actually end in divorce, shouldn't young women also be planning their dream divorces? Shouldn't the divorce industry be exploiting women as well? Shouldn't you plan your dream divorce so it might provide you with lasting happiness, in addition to the anxiety, anger, and animosity that you can expect?
Okay, the next time you're wondering about why anyone would listen to Women Are Not Funny Radio, please remember that on this one occasion, we had a story that was charming, and I'm talking about the engagement between Michelle Miller and James Marsden. Yes, today's Women Are Not Funny Radio was about arranged marriages. And I certainly was not in an arranged marriage. My parents wouldn't have wanted that for me. However, they were actually very strict and a little bit protective. Well, I think so anyway. I had to be home from the prom at 9:30. Well, that's it. That's been our Valentine's Day show. And as you're listening, you know all about your own Valentine's Day 2011. I hope it was wonderful. I hope you had high expectations and that they were all met. And if it didn't work out that way, you know, there's always next year.
You have been listening to Women Are Not Funny Radio, a New Media International production. On behalf of Kay Ballard, her fabulous guest, and the secretly hilarious Women Are Not Funny team, thanks for being here. This is Aaron James Lee, one of the producers of the show, putting up with Kay Ballard for yet another week, and also reminding you that you can listen to our replays anytime you please by going to our website at womenarenotfunny.com. And don't forget to subscribe via iTunes, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. Are you still here? One more thing. Don't forget to join us again next week for another episode of Women Are Not Funny Radio.